This should have three pages in this, and this is basically a syllabus or kind of an outline of what we're going to study in this class. It's three pages in this, and it's not exhaustive because there's going to be a handout for each class, just like the two I'm going to give you right now here in just a minute, okay? I'm going to give you a handout for, that is the overall syllabus with a lot of the verses and things. And why am I giving that out now? Okay, a leader needs to be proactive. And that's basically the content of that right there is, the content of that right there is what we hope to cover in this class. We've taught this material before and kind of honed it down. And what you need to be doing is, like, if you want to be a leader of anything, you got to be looking out ahead. You can't be looking behind. And so we want you to have kind of a nutshell, the thing in a nutshell, going forward. The syllabus, if you look at it there in the classes, we're going to start out with an intro today. Might get most of that done. Then we're going to talk about three bullet points in the next three classes, which is the nature of leadership, why serve as a leader, and then understanding the job of leadership. Then we're going to roll into some Bible examples, and the two that are mentioned in class number 3 and 4 are obviously not the only spiritual leaders that we're going to be referring to as we go through this class, but you have to start with Jesus, because he's the epitome of a servant leader. He did it without flaw, and therefore is our role model. If anybody says, who do you want to be like as a leader, it needs to be Jesus. You might see some qualities and characteristics in other men that are to be admired, but even in those men that you see qualities and characteristics to be admired, there may be some things that you don't want to imitate, or you hope you advance quicker in those areas than they did. And then we're going to talk about approachability as a leader, and knowing the truth and having conviction about it. I mean, you can't be a leader without conviction about the truth. You have to know it, and you have to have conviction about it. And unfortunately, we are in a society today that has no respect for people that have conviction about anything. Right? That's the culture we live in. And it's that is anti-biblical, and it is anti-spiritual leader. That doesn't mean we're bold and brash and have to have our way, but we're talking things that the Word of God specifically talks about with regard to. You know, let me say this first. We're all a spiritual leader. Even if we're single, and there aren't any in here, we're all a spiritual leader. People look at us. We may not be a husband yet. We may not be a father yet. But in any regard, we're a leader. We're a servant leader. And we all want to be like Jesus. Jesus was never married. Was he a leader? He was a servant leader. And so self-discipline, we're going to talk about the qualifications of an elder. We're going to come back and forth to the concept of being a leader in the church. But that's not just the only focus of this class. The focus of this class is to be the kind of leader, wherever you are at in life, that's where you can be the leader. We're talking about time management. Who doesn't have a problem with that? Just get one of each one of those, and while you're standing, give everybody one of those. Thank you. Delegation of responsibilities. A leader has to learn how to manage what he can manage and how to get people to help him manage what he needs to manage. Discipline, specifically with regard to church discipline, being able to teach, and then relating to others. Okay, that's kind of where the class is going to go. And I think we have 25 class periods this quarter, maybe give or take one, but we'll try to get all these lessons in this class, in this quarter. You know, here's what this class is about. If I could just kind of sum it up, okay? Okay, the destination. Okay, what this class is about. What's the destination that this class is trying to teach us about?
Heaven.
Huh? Heaven. Heaven, that's the ultimate destination. But right now, what we're talking about is being a spiritual leader. Okay, I see two, in a big broad brushstrokes, I see two ingredients to that. What's the first thing you have to know when you want to go somewhere?
How to get there.
No.
Your direction.
No.
A goal.
Huh?
Where are you going?
Where are you going? That's the destination. What's the first thing you got to know? You got to know where you're at. Okay? Sounds simple, doesn't it? Where am I? Okay? Now, what's the second?
Directions.
Directions, okay? Okay, maybe you could sum that up a bit for us. Now, everybody in this room is somewhere between here and here. Okay? Let's see, there's one, two, three, four. Four men who have or are elders in the class. Okay. Let me tell you something. When I've become a Christian, I don't think there, I hardly heard anything about this until I become a leader. And I've got to say, hey, we've got to, elders have to be concerned about the perpetuity of leadership. You understand what I mean by that? Who's going to be there next? Who's going to be after me? And this is one of the first church I've been an elder at. And, you know, as an evangelist in the different churches, I've been an unappointed leader because of the role of being a preacher and evangelist. You, by default, I guess you get some of that, especially in the absence of elders, okay? And I've been an evangelist at churches that had elders and more than haven't, okay? So, what David and I have done when we put this material together, this is a summary of our thoughts, and he's been at West End 50 years, 60, since he's a little kid.
Yeah.
60 years, okay? He's seen the good, he's seen the bad and the ugly. I know he's never said it like that, but all of us have been around very long. We have. I mean, how many men in here do not want to be a spiritual leader? We all want to be a spiritual leader. I didn't say elder. I said spiritual leader. There are a lot of men who are spiritual leaders, and for one reason or another, they are not going to serve as an elder. Maybe not even as a deacon. And that's okay, because if you lack some of the qualifications or you lack the desire, then you certainly don't want to assume a job that you can't or don't want to fulfill the role of. The other thing that's important to know about this, I think, to think about this is, you know, like maybe from a young child, some of us might have said, I want to be
an astronaut,
okay? I want to be an astronaut. He didn't make it yet, okay? He's out of space sometimes, you know? But you don't just get out of high school and say, I'm going to get strapped in Apollo 14, go to the moon. You know, there's this thing of where am I at? What do I got to do to be an astronaut or a carpenter or a doctor or a lawyer, which become a judge or whatever, whoever you are. Okay, spiritual leadership's the same way, God. It's not just something that, oh yeah, we just wake up one day and the church is looking for elders and I think he'd do a good job. Now, that may be from the church's standpoint how it happens, but the man that's really qualified that the church would want to put his name before, a man would want to put his name before the church, is a man who consciously or subconsciously has been doing this all along. Or either that, he wouldn't be able to do this. Okay? It's a planning, it's a process, it has to be a goal. And for the Christian man, being an astronaut, That may be okay to be, but this is more important. Being a lawyer may be what you want to do, and you may be a good one, but this is more important. And the problem is we get consumed with all kinds of things in life, and when we get to the point where we really should be able to take on this role of an elder, now I'm talking about an elder, we're just not there yet. And I believe anybody at any point in life can get there, but it takes work, it takes planning, it's not an accident, it's something that's done on purpose. And so I'm looking at this right now kind of from the student's perspective. I'm going to look at it from the elder's perspective, too. You know, for example, the Bible in Proverbs, when it tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, so when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's exactly what we're talking about here, except we're not talking about grooming children. Although teaching young boys and acquainting them with the importance of ultimately being a spiritual leader is something we should do with our young boys, grandsons and whoever. But, you know, the principle in Proverbs about training up a child to go the right way is the same way with ourselves when we want to groom ourselves, acquaint ourselves with things that will groom us to do this spiritual role, which is so important. More important, the church is the most noble, most glorious, most important organization that the Lord, that God has ever put on the earth. And that's demonstrated by the fact that his son died for it. And he wants us as men to step up and to be learning the qualities that it takes to do that, acquiring those qualities, and polishing those qualities so that we can be a true spiritual. This is the result of study. This is the result of planning. This is the result of preparation, implementation, and execution. You know, a man that's going to be put in as an elder, we're talking about the ultimate goal of a spiritual leader. The day that he stands up there and promises to protect the church and lead the church, and as we have a process here, you know, it's not then that he starts to qualify himself for that. I'll tell you, that's when he's going to learn what the real job's all about. He's already done all this stuff back here. That's why, if he's scripturally qualified, people will want to put him up in it. We can understand this with physical career. You know, if you want to be an astronaut or you want to be a doctor, a surgeon, they're not going to put you in the operating room or in the missile to go to the moon the day you get out of school. It's a process that we have to learn to get ourselves immersed in. That's the word, immersed in the process so that we can be all God wants us to be. It's not just to assume a role and a title in a position. It's to lead the earth's earthly part of the spiritual organization of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And so what we want to do in this class is excite your interest in it. We want you to decide where you're at here on the timeline. And if you haven't been on the timeline, if you don't think you're where you should be on the timeline, okay, let's get on. We'll help you, and there's lots of resources to help you. But I'll tell you, you got the resource in your lap, or you should have had if you come to Bible class, you got the resource here to help you. This is it right here. And there are other resources to help you do that. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And and I want to look at a couple passages in Romans chapter 12. It's specifically verse 3. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." What's that mean? I mean, I understand about the part about humility at the beginning of it. I'm talking about the last clause in the verse. What's that talking about? As God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. How would you explain that? How would you explain that?
It'd be like where we stand, where we're at against what he expects of us.
Yeah, I think that's right. What else?
We have a certain capacity.
Okay. We all have a different, everybody in this room has a different capacity.
Comparable to talents.
Compared to the talents, that's right. That's right. A couple things is, God has given you something. Okay. God has given you something. What is it? That's what you have to figure out for yourself. And other people can help you. God has given us a measure of faith. You know, there's just people that have the ability to absorb the faith much, much greater than I, and I just envy them. Okay? People have a capacity to remember things way better than I do about, and I'm talking about spiritual matters, than I do. Regardless of how little of absorption I have or retention, I got to do something with it. I'm expected to do something with it. And quite frankly, not all men. I've met a lot of men in my life in the church and got to know them well. Not all of them have. God hasn't gave every one of them the ability to absorb the faith where they can be an elder. Some of them have wanted to be. Some of them I've known didn't want to be preachers. They might be preachers, but God didn't give them the ability to absorb the faith to do a very good job at it. But we've got to be self-examining, and we've got to understand that God has dealt something to us. He's dealt us a hand, like we might say in a card game. He's dealt us a hand. And he expects us, just like Carol said about the parable of the talents, that's the story about using what you got, little or big. And that's what this job is here about, spiritual leadership. We're all a spiritual leader, you know, or a husband and wife. We have kids, and everybody in here does. We're a leader. Anybody got anything to add in on this? You know, I'm David.
Well, later in that passage in verse 6, mm-hmm. Paul expounds on it just a little bit.
Right.
Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. That was talking about that spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. None of us can have that. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And we can, when we think, the easiest way for me to understand that phrase with a measure of faith is when I think about the parable of the talents. You know, I...
Men on
here. And women on walls and stuff.
Yeah, come on in here. You can come in here.
This is about men, so I'm sure she could help you. Good to see you.
But anyway, the easiest way for me to understand it, because it sounds, I don't know the right way to say it, a measure of faith is if God is bestowing us with something special, but we've all got different talents, and we can understand that in the, it's tangible in
sure.
The parable of the talents. And and it can appear in a variety of ways. But whatever God gives us, he expects us to use for his glory.
Yeah, let's use business terms. He wants a return on his investment. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. You know, and honestly, you know, it's usually, but not always. Now, would you remember what I said? It's usually, but not always, the man's fault if he's not the spiritual leader he should be. I realize there's sometimes a guy marries a good woman, he thinks she hung the moon, and she may be great, but quite frankly, she doesn't qualify him to be a spiritual leader. Sometimes your children, the best you can do and the best you've done, may disqualify you from being an effective spiritual leader. And I don't just mean elder. I just mean across the board. Ultimately, we're talking about trying to position ourselves where we can ascend to to the position of a spiritual leader in the church. In other words, an elder. But, again, no matter where we're at on the journey, we can be a spiritual leader. You know, there's places I've been where men were elders and they were qualified. And if they were going to seek out some other men among them, there might be some names put up, but some people probably leave the church if they appoint them. Why is that? Because they haven't positioned themselves on this journey to be the example or the leader that the job, that the office or the job demands. And so there's a lot of ingredients. We're going to talk about those in this class. There's a lot of ingredients, you know, and it starts with understanding the Word and being immersed in it and knowing what that role is. You know, when we talk about a leader, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just go back here to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll talk about what we're leading here just for a minute. I want to talk about the grandeur of the church. That's what we're talking about. The grandeur of the kingdom. In verse 3, blessed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Think about that for just a minute. You and I, being in Christ, that's what's under consideration here. This was something that was started before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So here is this introducing what he's going to write to these Ephesians, which some of us is not that good based on some of their characteristics of the church, but he reminds them right up front. This, the grandeur of what you are involved in here started before the foundation of the world. And he determined ahead of time, not predestined in the Calvinist sense, he predetermined ahead of time that you, these people he wrote to, and for us for that matter, you're going to be in this kingdom. You're going to be in this grand organization. And what we want to try to do in this class is understand how we as men can be the best we can be in the role, whatever role that is that we can try to fulfill. Anybody else want to say anything? From the elder's perspective, that was kind of from the student's perspective, or the, you know, the people that are looking to, that are on this timeline, and we're all on this timeline somewhere, but again, I already said, one of the subjects that's a conversation in the eldership here frequently is the perpetuity of leadership. Curtis Pope had this great saying. Here it is. Too many young men stood in the shade of mighty oaks which never allowed them to grow. Okay? That's what he means by mighty oaks is good, great men. Too many men grow up in churches where there's good leaders and they're just kind of left to grow on their own, and they're never mentored, they're never developed. They maybe haven't thought about having classes to help people like this. And what happens when a forest full of mature trees, what happens when a logger comes in and cuts them all down?
Young ones grow.
There's no growth, there's no shade. And that everything under that that's dependent on growing in the shade, like a lot of forms of plant life, guess what happens? It just burns up in the heat of the sun. It's the same thing in the church. There's leaders at West End, and there's going to need to be leaders tomorrow. I don't mean Monday. I mean in the future. And some of them are in this room. Okay? Some of them aren't in this room, and they probably should be. Not probably, they should be. Because this is important to the kingdom of God, and that needs to be number one. Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. That needs to be number one. So, Paul instructs Timothy, And 2 Timothy 2, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see the continuity of that there, the perpetuity of that? Take these things, teach them to this person, so this person can teach them to that one. That's the same thing in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28 and 18 beginning, when it says, go into the world, and let's just read that. Of course, I can point that. There's just a phrase in there that a long time ago stuck out in my mind. And he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So here's what Paul says. Teach them, baptize them, teach them to observe. Well, if they're going to be taught to observe the things that Jesus said, guess what? Part of that is teaching somebody else and baptizing them and teaching them to observe. That's the perpetuity of the kingdom of God from the standpoint of converting sinners. Okay. What we're talking about in this class is the perpetuity of the leadership of the church by leaders teaching potential leaders how to be leaders. Okay. And again, it's not just something that happens a certain period of time. It's not just something that you wake up one day and you've arrived, you know, like falling asleep on an airplane and you land in California. It's not how this works. This is a preparation and study, and I think the same injunction in 1 Timothy 2 applies to elders, just like it is written to a young evangelist to do, that you teach people to lead, you teach people how to do what they need to do, and ultimately they'll become leaders too. All the David and I and the other three elders here, at some point in time, we're going to be incapable of leading. That could be because we lose our minds. That could be because we're in a casket. But that day's coming. And that day comes for every church where there's leaders, young or old, how many of them they've got. And I'm just saying from the elder's perspective, this David can say more about it if he wants to, but this is a serious point of discussion for us. And I don't want to stand before the great judge and he said, well, you know, I assume he didn't help anybody else ascend to this position of leadership. How come he didn't equip somebody? Look, the church is without elders now. It's hard when churches have had elders and they, for whatever reason, it dissolves, and then to get that back in place, that can be more challenging sometimes than appointing men in the first place. Really can. So, anybody got any thoughts?
If you relate that to the business world,
sure.
How ineffective or how just ridiculous would it be to not have the sort of succession planning it would take to have a situation where, you know, if your leaders couldn't perform the roles for whatever reason,
yeah,
and you had no one to assume the role. You had no one with the experience or the, you know, aptitude or capacity to do it. I mean, it just would be silly.
Who's affected by that?
Everybody. The whole company.
Everybody in the organization is affected by that. You know, while the great investment in the salvation of men's souls is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, because he done for man what he couldn't do for himself. But Jesus only done what man can't do for himself. Man does everything else. Man's role in the divine enterprise is not dying on a cross for the salvation of my sins or anybody else's. Only Jesus could do that. God doesn't do for man what man can do for himself. He doesn't. You know, I think the classic story of that is Lazarus coming out of the tomb. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do at the tomb?
He raised him.
He raised him. He reanimated Lazarus. What did Lazarus do?
Waddled out.
He come forth. Okay? Why is that? I mean, he had somebody roll the stone away. God didn't. Man couldn't raise him from the dead, but he could do everything else. And so, That's where we're at. It's, you know, and it was John F. Kennedy's famous quote. What was it?
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That's a, you know, better words couldn't be spoken about the kingdom of God. Don't ask what the kingdom can do for you. It's been done. Ask what you can do for the kingdom. And that's where we have leaders. They do. Here's another little illustration. Get this right. What is knowledge plus experience equal?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay. What else?
Confidence.
Success.
What else?
Success.
Success? Exactly. What is knowledge plus? What does knowledge plus nothing give you?
Potential.
Huh? It gives you potential. I'll tell you, it's a recipe for disaster. Okay. You know, I got an old friend over in Eastern Kentucky. You might have heard me quote him before. He was talking about somebody one time. He said he's real smart. He said he's dangerous smart. Okay? Knowledge plus experience is wisdom. It's confidence. It's success. It's what we, when we're talking about a leader, a spiritual leader, not just an elder, a spiritual leader, knowledge, you got to learn. You know, when do you need to learn? As early as possible. Okay? Then, with that knowledge comes experience implementing this knowledge. And after you get beat around and beat up and run over on the road a few times of life and stuff, you get enough experience and you learn wisdom, and you have wisdom, and you develop confidence because of the combination of these two. You know how many people I could probably write on the board that I know have lots of knowledge and they have none of this?
Maybe a better word is knowledge plus experience equals capability.
Oh, well, capability, that's another word.
Because you're still, which is where the experience is so important.
How would you like somebody to do bypass surgery on you the first day they got out of medical school? I've had bypass surgery. That's not the man I want hovering over me with a knife. Okay? The same thing is in the kingdom of God. Knowledge. Where does that come from? Only one place. The book. The book, the book. You're going to hear us talk about that a lot. Got to know the book. Then, how does a person get this? In what forms or realms does a person get experience?
In the field.
In the field. What field?
Vineyard, the kingdom.
Kingdom? I'm talking about specific.
Service.
As a parent.
As a parent, okay? As a parent, you're going to learn how to deal. If you got more than one child, you're going to learn how to deal with multiple personalities. Okay? What else? What else should men be doing with this knowledge that gives them experience?
Not to be hearers only, but we're to be doers.
Oh, okay.
Teach.
Okay, you might start teaching these younger kids. Then you might graduate to high school kids. Then you teach adults. In the meantime, you need to be teaching your neighbor. You need to be sharing the gospel with people. You're going to watch and listen and learn at your job. You're going to see people's lives in turmoil because they don't have this. All this experience, you put it in your mental Rolodex. But you are engaged, what you learn to have the experience to ultimately be a leader. What you have to do is take the knowledge you get from the Word of God, and you need to be sharing that, implementing that in your life, and helping others in their life do that. That's what ultimately prepares you to be a spiritual leader in the church. on your, in your family realm, it's taking your knowledge and your experience and teaching your kids and training a child up in the way it should go. Okay? When you get to this, if you get to the point where you're a spiritual leader in the church, then you take your knowledge, you take your experience, and one of the qualifications for being an elder is what?
Teacher.
Apt to teach. Able to teach. Okay, so that's what we need to learn as men in this group, that I'm going to make the best use of what the Lord gives me regarding knowledge from the Word. There's people that can know it and memorize it better than I can. But if they haven't taken that knowledge and applied it and used it, interacting with people, their children, first of all, and then other people, then they're going to be lacking the wisdom, probably the confidence, and they're not going to be they may be successful in the minds of men, but the thing about this class is not what men think. It's just about what the Lord thinks about us and using our talents accordingly. David, and then Carol.
Well, if we do things according to God's way, this experience comes in a gradual way.
Right.
Something that happens over a period of years. I mean, when you think about it as being a spiritual leader in the church, we begin to get experience after we get married. And we realize it doesn't make any difference what you thought you knew ahead of time. You know, within 6 months you were wrong about it all. And as men, we learn that females are so much different than us. And I'm going to tell you, it takes a lifetime to understand it. But then it gets even more complicated when we start adding children to it, whether it's one or whether it's many. And that's God's plan for us to learn. The whole time we should still be learning what is in this book that will help us, that we can apply to our experience. I sometimes tell young people in court, tell their parents, that their full-time job is to, these kids that are not going to school, that learning is their full-time job. We never think about that, and nobody ever said anything like that to me until I was getting ready to graduate from high school, from law school. Because I ask about, when am I going to learn something practical? And they say, right now your job is to devote full time to learning. You have plenty of time to practice once you get out of here. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, because the way our law is based right now, our kids, beginning at age 5, devote full time to learning. And that's what we should ensure, that that's what they do. Goal is not to get a diploma in high school. Goal is to learn. That's what they're trying to do, is teach us to learn. And we need to have the same kind of thirst for what is in this book. It is going to be far more valuable to us at the end of time. What we've learned in this book is going to be far more valuable to us at the end of time than what we learn in any classroom.
Carol.
I was going to say, it's so different, like Greg was talking about in business. You can hire someone that has a degree, chemical engineering, but they have no experience. They're fresh out of college. So they may never have even, you know, hired anybody, fired anybody. You know, you're not going to hire them to be the CEO. And I think spiritually we can apply that. If you've ever seen a young preacher who doesn't have any children, maybe isn't married, give a lesson on the home. And, you know, everyone's thinking, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
You know, the scriptures tell us that, you know, as far as an elder, that's not to be a novice. So, you know, it needs to be a person with experience.
Okay, so looking now at this, the nature of leadership a little bit here now. You know, think of someone who's not necessarily in your spiritual circles, but think of someone who you think is a great leader, and why. Who you got any comes to mind? Not a Bible character, not a preacher, an elder, just Someone you think is just a great leader. Why was he a great leader, Carol?
I had a boss that I felt like he knew everyone that reported to him, he knew their strengths and their weaknesses, and he knew what buttons to push. And he knew what motivated each person individually. He knew people personally. He knew about our families. He showed genuine concern.
Yeah. And there's your key word. He thinks this guy was a great leader, and he exhibited these qualities. And the reason he exhibited these qualities was what?
He cared.
He cared. Okay? Great leaders. You know, I think some people think being kind or caring or emotional or something is a defect in a leader. That's not true at all. That's the epitome of Jesus. When we think about Jesus weeping when he knew he was going to raise somebody from the dead. You know, you think about him standing over Jerusalem. He wept when he looked over Jerusalem and he said, these are like a sheep with no shepherd. He cared about people.
But he never allowed his emotions to overrule.
That's exactly right.
And that guy that I reported to, we were peers, and I interviewed with him and got the job, and he became my boss. I said, I wouldn't want our friendship to ever get. He said, oh, it wouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it didn't.
Yeah, and fact is, I've been in that situation where it didn't ruin friendships, but it tests their mettle when you have people that report to you that you have to alter their direction a little bit, maybe. Okay. Yeah, caring. We're going to have three classes on Jesus the leader. But, you know, who is as tough as nails Jesus was? Literally, nails driven in. But as tough as he was in some situations in Matthew 23 with the scribes and the Pharisees, he had the tender care and love of a family that loses a child, or somebody lame from birth, or whatever. Just we have to learn to imitate him to be a spiritual leader on any level. Brian.
Well, I was sitting here thinking about this before we started talking about caring, but everybody's given a different measure of empathy or compassion mm-hmm. for people, but I believe it is a skill that you can develop, mm-hmm. and you can start with doing things for others and small things, and by the time that you have the knowledge and experience to be in a spiritual leadership, you better develop that compassion for other people, where their soul is the most important thing that you can devote yourself to in every aspect of your life. And I just think that, like David was talking about, you begin learning that with kids. I mean, all of us in here that have kids, our number one priority is our concern for their eternal soul. And you learn that, and then you can push that forward to, this is important for other people that I'm in relationships with as well, in the church and the people that I work with. And
mm-hmm. That's right. We can demonstrate our care and concern. The first point here on the nature of leadership, the first one here is to have honesty and integrity. And I don't know, but I guess if these were going to be put in order, that'd be number one. But I already mentioned, we already talked about, you know, being caring and really it's loving, you know. That's not a man word in the business world, but that's a quality you have to have. I don't care what realm that you want to function successfully in. So being honest and having integrity. Who respects a liar or a cheat? I don't care how smart they are. I don't care how. That's where we'll start Wednesday, Lord willing. So you've got the outline for two classes. The one we're starting now, and the next one there on understanding the job of leadership. We'll try to move through those in two classes. Glad you're all here.